This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
I want to thank you so much for joining us and welcome you into the Retirement Roo with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. 366-8366 is the phone number. Once again, that's 366-8366. Online at MatthewJames.com. My name is Chris Swan. On today's show, why are so many Americans retiring earlier than expected? And we'll discuss the timing of claiming Social Security and why it's so important for couples. All this and more. But first, let me check in with the man himself. John, glad to be with you as always. How are you, sir?
Well, Chris, you know, it's another good morning, another busy morning.
We have a lot of volleyball and a little bit of softball practice. But that's, I mean, outside of that, it's just getting stuff done around the house. But, you know, ready to get this show going and give the Acadiana listeners or the Louisiana listeners a lot of good information about finances, about taxes, about retirement, being retirement ready. So I'm looking forward to it.
Giving them a lot of insight as they get ready for retirement. Because I think a lot of people in the past couple of years, especially with all the volatility, have been concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to retire. Step one is having that conversation. You may find out that you're in better shape than you thought, or you may find out that there is still some work to do. But the good news with that is that once you know that, you know the right steps to take into place. And so again, when you're ready or you just want to have that conversation, see where you stand. Acadiana's retirement strategist is here for you. 366-8366. John, let's go ahead and begin with this. There was a video of an old 60 Minutes piece from 10 years ago that's seeing new life online. It's titled, The Truth About 401ks. Correspondent Steve Croft interviewed a financial planner named Brooks Hamilton.
Fact is that the typical 401k investor is a financial novice. They don't know a stock from a line. And we give them a list of 20 or 30 mutual funds with really, really powerful names. You know, they sound like, gee, that's where I want to have my money.
What are the quality of the mutual funds and 401k plans?
Mediocre. I'll be real honest with you. With half the funds on the list, really dogs, what people would characterize as dogs, shouldn't be on the list to start with.
So, John, I'm wondering, has anything changed in the last 10 years? Is there a better place for someone's money than the 401k?
Well, look, I mean, he's completely honest and right about that scenario. And it's pretty sad when you see the options that most 401ks have. And even, you know, just the poor performance of these target date funds, these flagship retirement accounts, whether it's through Fidelity or Vanguard. We have to look at the vulnerability, the structure of these actual funds, and then looking at, okay, what are your other alternatives? Now, there's a handful of 401k providers out there that give you an open architecture of investments outside of the normal, 2025, 2030, 2050, mm-hmm. You know, all the way to whatever the target date fund is. But bottom line is, it's a matter of having a different strategy. Now, a couple ways you can qualify to not be in a 401k. You're no longer with the employer. You can move it to an IRA. You're 59 and a half and older, and you're still working. You can do an in-service rollover, so you can get it out of that 401k, move it to an IRA, and then you're retired. So why do you have to still have a 401k when you can change it to an IRA, and then you can create a different framework of investments that have a totally different strategy. You can actually be more efficient from a tax standpoint because you're not taking a mandatory federal withholding of 20% like you would in a 401k. In an IRA, you can pick the withholding that you want. So that's ideal because what if your only source of income is Social Security and then you add a withdrawal to that from your IRA, and let's say you keep that annual amount, let's just say below $20,000 a year. Well, you actually don't even have to withhold any federal taxes if you're married. So because the standard deduction would offset it, and then from there, you get your Social Security income. Let's call that $40,000, $45,000, and then you pull out another $20,000 from your IRA. So let's say that's – and I'm not saying this is what you need to live by, but ideally, let's say if your goal in retirement for income purposes, because you have – you're not raising any kids anymore, you don't have any – probably don't have any debt you're servicing. The mortgage is paid off. You might have a car note just because you financed it at 0.12%, which that makes sense. And then outside of that, it's just utilities, property taxes, not really any major expenditures. But let's just say your income was $65,000 a year in that scenario. Well, think about it. You're getting money from Social Security and money from your IRA, and you're paying no taxes. But it's a matter of controlling the amount of money that you're withdrawing from it. Now, the key thing here is with using the IRA as a structure, you can invest in so many different things. You can invest in stocks, and you can invest in mutual funds, which I wouldn't go that route. You can do ETFs. You can buy individual bonds, which, got to be cautious about that. You can do private placement. You can have a self-directed IRA.
IRA, and let's say there's somebody you know has a startup company you can invest into there. Maybe you want to invest in real estate where you can have your IRA, or even better, your Roth IRA own the real estate. Like I have a buddy that has a Roth IRA. He owns his racehorse in it. So all the winnings from the racehorses are tax-free.
Hmm.
Same thing goes with rentals. You know, like you have rental properties, and you can have that owned by the IRA or the Roth. And then from there, you're getting the income. And as long as until for the Roth, it's 100% tax-free. Because what happens is your tenant actually writes a check to the trust company where the we use a particular trust company for these kind of scenarios. So let's say they'll write out a check to Midland Trust for a specific account number that your tenant. Then that money gets deposited back in the IRA, and then you can withdraw from the IRA. Let's just say if it's a Roth and you're past the age of 59 and a half, you can have that money circulate through the Roth, and then you pull it out as an income stream, and it's 100% tax-free. Now, normally, if you take just raw cash and you invest it in real estate, maybe you're using leverage, you have a bank, and then you're getting income. Now, you do get deductions as far as, different things, as far as improvements. And or if you go into a real estate conference, for your business. And there's a few – I mean, obviously, there's other things that you can do. But what happens is that after the expenses, the taxable dollar that is left over, dollars that are left over, are being taxed at ordinary income, which is not an efficient tax rate, especially whenever you jump on the higher end of it. But if you had it inside a Roth, all the income that you're receiving from the rental properties within the Roth is 100% tax-free. Now, when you're doing it through a traditional IRA, what happens is you're only paying taxes on the withdrawal from the IRA. Even though, let's just make up a number. Let's say you're receiving $25,000 a month in rental income. That sounds pretty nice. Well, but let's say, okay, that check gets written and goes straight into the IRA. But let's say you're only pulling out $5,000 a month. Well, you're only paying taxes on the $5,000, not on the $25,000. But if it was in a Roth, let's just say that same scenario, you're getting $25,000 of rental income that gets deposited back into the Roth, and then you go ahead and cut a check out for $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000. It's a 100% tax-free as long as you're beyond the age of 59 and a half. So it's a matter of having a strategy, what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish, and look at all the different things that you can invest in. But don't think you have to stay within the 401k and just you're married to these target date funds. You can move your assets out of there and have a different architecture, have a different investment strategy, having a tax mitigation strategy all in one, moving it away from the actual 401k.
Just like we talked about with fees earlier, it's not to say that the 401k is completely bad. There's a time and place, especially if there's an employer match. We've talked many times on the show about the benefits of free money. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure your money is working as hard for you as you are for it. So maybe looking at these other strategies, like John pointed out, it's really going to depend on person to person, and to figure out how it's going to work best for you, well, pick up the phone and give a call and schedule a time to speak with Acadiana's retirement strategist. 366-8366 is the phone number, the website MatthewJames.com. In the past, if the market was going up, it was a sign that the economy was in good shape. That might not be the case anymore. Eddie Gabor, financial analyst Eddie Gabor, tells Fox Business these two are no longer connected.
The market is in a period right now where it is continuing to buy dips and ignoring the fundamentals. This is why we continue to be cautious regardless of what happens in the market here over the next few months.
So, John, have you and the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management changed the way that you look at the stock market? If that's not your basis for planning, well, what is?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've been looking at the fact is the market obviously has been very volatile. It's been very overpriced. Even this year, when you look at roughly it's seven stocks that's been pulling the S&P, just pulling the valuation of it up.
Mm-hmm.
And you go look at everything else has been doing pretty mediocre. And there's a lot of negative turbulence ahead. There's a lot of issues. When you look at the last week of July, whenever the government's credit rating got reduced. And so the negative side effect that we saw there, I mean, like you look at the month of August, that it was the fact that it was down. And we got to look at, okay, what other options do we have? What strategies do we have? What ways of being nimble, being liquid, and getting a positive rate of return, and then going ahead and pivot when the market finds a trough, and then how to have another strategy. So like, there's different options that we have, we give people depending on their risk tolerance. But the overall strategy is looking at, okay, when ideally when it's time to be in, let's go ahead and hold on to the position. When it's time to sell a position, whenever, you know, there's confirming events that, okay, the tomorrow looks like it's going to be, you know, going the opposite direction, or looking at over a time period, it looks like we're in a bear market territory. Why stay in it? Why hold that position and ride the value down when you could sell, realize the gain? Then, and let's say that's within an IRA or Roth, you don't have to worry about paying any taxes on it. And then once the market finds a trough, and then there's a confirming event basically saying, okay, recovery is now in place, then if it's suitable, pricing is right, then it's, you know, time to buy back into the market. So whenever you look at what Warren Buffett does, he invests like a woman. He buys like a woman. Most women like to buy things when they're on what, Chris?
On sale.
So ideally, we got to look at pricing in the market and from there, it's making the right decision and having the right strategies. And, you know, the money managers that we've been using, new ones that we're working with, I say new ones, not like started yesterday. It's just been a little while. But ideally, it's a matter of having the correct strategies that fit that individual's needs for, you know, capital preservation, for capital appreciation, and having an income strategy that is tax efficient. So we got to look at where we're going to pull that money from. So ideally, we're looking at it from a lot of different fronts, but understanding right now how we're more defensive than offensive as far as being in the market.
It could be a full-time job trying to, you know, play the stock market game. It literally is. I mean, there are people there on Wall Street where that is their job, and you in your working career probably have not had time to really get it down to a craft, and that is okay, just as long as you know where to turn. In the same sort of way that, you know, you may not have certain skills in the house as far as taking care of things. You might have to call a plumber or an electrician when it comes to managing your finances and making sure that you're as financially bulletproof as possible. It is okay, and honestly, probably advised to turn to professionals like the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management to help you out with that. The number is 366-8366. 366-8366. Don't let emotions dictate, you know, when to buy and when to sell. Use the skill set and the knowledge of Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. You can also go online to the website at matthewjames.com. The so-called five-second rule is apparently alive and well. The new survey shows that more than 40% of Americans will eat things off the floor as long as they can pick it up immediately. I've got two dogs in my house, and absolutely not, and lead by example when it comes to my son. But if none of them were around, maybe. But in the world of retirement, we have something called the 4% rule. By withdrawing 4% of your assets each year, you could adequately fund your retirement. John, I have to wonder, are you a believer in this approach? And if not, what do you base withdrawal rates on for clients, especially when the top concern among retirees is, in fact, running out of money?
Well, look, I mean, ideally what we have to look at is what is their investment mix, and, you know, pulling out 4%, what does that equate to? Because whenever you're dealing with a lot of volatility or even an account that has been negative over a time period, that becomes a big issue. And so whenever you're making a withdrawal on a negative year, then what happens is that's going to shorten the lifespan of that account, whether it's 3% or 4% or 5%. Now, look, 4 is a good number to use, ideally. And look, the thing is, most people say, well, the account's going to average around 6 or 7. You pull out 4. So then what will happen is, you know, through that time period, your money shouldn't be a problem. But the issue is, like, receiving that money should not be a problem whatsoever. But the problem is whenever you're dealing with the sequence of the returns, where does the negatives fall in place as you're taking the withdrawals? Even though you'll have positive years, we got to look at the negative years too. And so the organization, you know, how, you know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But when you look at behavior, and so we actually have a tool that shows people, you know, whenever you're withdrawing money, and we got to look at, okay, how much negative market exposure are you realizing? So we can show them, like, just that's the full market, the full S&P. And so if you're receiving that full drag and withdrawing money, how will that affect you? What if you can reduce the drag, the negative drag, to like 5% or 10%? How would that affect you for the long term? Or what if, you know, there's other options out there. But ideally, what we got to look at is, you know, if you're digging a hole, as far as, in other words, losing money because of the market, climbing out of it becomes more difficult if you're using money, you know, to survive in that scenario. So what happens is, like, let's say if you had $500,000 on January 1st of 2000 and you're pulling out 4%. Okay, so you got a decent amount of money coming out each year. Now, in 3 years, because of what happened in 2000, 01, and 02, then your account value is basically at $250,000. So you went from 500 to 250. You've withdrawn 4% of the 500,000 over the 3 year period, but you look at what happened with the market, negative 10, negative 13, negative 23%. Your account value fell to $250,000. Now think about it. How long is that account going to survive in the future whenever you're dealing with more negative market returns? And so that's a big thing that we have to look at. So if we can reduce the amount of negative market exposure you have on the money that you're using to supplement your social or your pension, or just in general, it's your retirement income, that would be ideal. So what we want to do is have three different buckets of money organized. We have one bucket where we call that our now bucket. It's our immediate bucket where we go grab it for emergency funds or planned expenses, any kind of emergency purpose. And then the second bucket, which is the soon bucket, that is used to supplement your social or your pension. You could be using this for the next 15, 20, 25 years, depending on your current age and, looking at retirement. Now, what happens there is that money's focused to outpace inflation, but you, in that account, you should not be realizing the same drawdown that the market would. Mm-hmm. So you're being, you're not seeing these big drops in that account because of the way it's invested, the strategies that are being used. And so what happens is you can, you want to make sure that money's not going to run out in that scenario. Now, this isn't any kind of like guaranteed income type of deal. It's just a matter of having a different structure, not realizing any major losses. Maybe you have a little bit of negative fluctuations, but it's not going to be in a double-digit territory because that's where it starts getting really ugly whenever you hit 10 and then go beyond that. So ideally, these are some of the things that you got to look at, and then have that later bucket, that last bucket that's focused on capital appreciation. That's more money that you're going to be using for legacy planning, healthcare planning, tax mitigation planning overall. So, but what happens is that money is going to be growing, and that you're going to be using that money in the future to be identified as your soon bucket, money that you're going to be spending. But we're going through different time frames in our retirement. So in the very beginning, you're spending a lot more probably because you're traveling. And in that middle section, you're still doing it, but not at the frequency. And then the last third is really where, most people aren't capable of doing that kind of travel, but also, their structure, their bodies, they might be dealing with different, external or internal health issues, mm-hmm. That will, that's going to drive up the medical expense or any kind of medical needs. So it's a matter of having money for that. But ideally, it's what we got to do is reduce the amount of negative exposure that your portfolio can withstand while you're pulling out, money for income purposes, whether it's 3% or 4% or 5%. Ideally, we just got to plan it that way.
When it comes to the right withdrawal rate, when it comes to your retirement, what does it depend on? Well, it depends on you and your personal situation. So to figure out what the right numbers are going to be for you, pick up the phone and give a call. This is the number you need to keep in mind, 366-8366, or online, MatthewJames.com. Benjamin Franklin once famously said, "The only two things you can count on in life are death and taxes." Somebody later added to that and said, that may be true, but at least death doesn't get worse every time Congress reconvenes. I mean, the tax laws, they are constantly changing. And going into retirement in a low tax bracket with tax-free money is a plus. I have to wonder, though, John, what is the downside of going through retirement with all of your savings, in a 401k?
Yeah, the big issue is that, that all that money is has a tax lien on it, and you, depending on the amount of the money that you're withdrawing or the other sources of income that you have, that money will be billed at a higher tax rate, the ordinary income tax rate, and then we have to look at how that overlaps with Social Security. So the thing is that we have to look at having number one, and I talked about it earlier, was take that 401k money and pivot it over, transfer it over, roll it over into a traditional IRA where you can control the federal withholding. It doesn't have to be a mandatory 20%. Now, look, if those dollars should be taxed at 20%, ideally, withhold it. But from there, what'll happen is you could do some tax mitigation planning. So if that sweet spot's when you're in between the ages of 59 and a half and 73, where you can do Roth conversions. Now, We have this year and the next 2 years left of the Trump tax cuts before they're sunset to expire. So starting January 1st of 2026 is when we're going to see our tax rates go up. So the bandwidth of the brackets are going to shorten, and then the percentages per bracket will go up. So we have to look at, you know, managing that. So in over time, we can do some planning to reduce your tax exposure. But if you do have money that are in other types of investment accounts, other types of tax buckets, should I say, then you can have a withdrawal strategy to where if you limit the amount of money that's coming out of your IRA and you can offset it with other dollars, types of dollars, then you could pay lower tax rates. But it's just a matter of having understanding. There's really three tax rates. You have the provisional income, which is the way the Social Security gets taxed. But we have to look at any dollars coming out of your IRA, your pension. We got to look at dividends. We got to look at interest. We got to look at interest from bonds, but also interest from CDs, from money market accounts. We have to look at short-term capital gains, you know, the tax rate that those dollars get taxed at. Then we, you know, realizing a true long-term capital gain, the tax rate that gets taxed at. Then we have to look at the Roth. How does that get taxed? Oh, wait, it doesn't. It's tax-free. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, it's a matter of understanding where your dollar is falling and how will it get taxed. And so, you know, if you have an understanding of where you're placing a new dollar to be invested, which way is the most efficient way for it to be invested? And so these are the things that we look at. These are the strategies that we look at to try to reduce the amount of taxes that you're exposed to or you're having to pay each and every year.
The former judge, the Honorable Learned Hand, once famously said that there are two tax codes in place for Americans, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. And if you're not keeping up to date with what the government is doing, and they can change it on a whim, you are in the uninformed and you're paying basically whatever they tell you to. There is a way to be informed without having to, you know, watch C-SPAN and CNBC and read all the news websites every single day, and that is by having a team on your side like Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. It's right there in the name, Tax and Wealth Management, to make sure that you get to keep as much of your money as possible. Perhaps it is doing these Roth conversions where you do pay the taxes right now, but that keeps you from being in a place where down the line, whatever the tax rate may be, you're subject to it. So to figure out how it's going to work for you, to become informed or at least have an informed team on your side, 366-8366 or going to the website MatthewJames.com. At 66, illusionist David Copperfield certainly doesn't need to work, even with a net worth of about $2 billion. He still performs 15 shows a week in Las Vegas. CBS Sunday Morning asked him why.
But I like it, you know. I really enjoy it. I'm fortunate to walk out there, and people are kind of happy to be there. And some people actually need to be there. People are in the front row, and I can see in their face, take me away. I need to dream.
You know, the saying, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, certainly seems to hold true for David here. Can you tell us about a client who, you know, you've done the numbers and they're set for retirement, yet they continue working because they enjoy doing it?
Look, we have a lot of people in that scenario that really enjoy what they do. You know, going to work is therapeutic for them. Mm-hmm. They're serving, you know, the people that they that are their clients. You know, they're around people that they're, you know, the people that they're working with, they want to help them grow in life and get ahead. So it depends on, you know, your purpose, your cause, the things that you do, you know, how to be creative, and so how to be relevant. And these are things that are, you know, keeping people at work. And it's nothing wrong if you decide to retire, because everybody has a choice, you know, do what you want.
Sure.
Now, look, if you're at that age and you have to work because you need the money, then, I mean, obviously that's one thing. But whenever you have, you know, the abundance and you're still, you know, contributing to society in that way, that's great, you know. So it's something that, you know, it's a good thing that's there, and it's something that, you know, people should take advantage of whenever the time is right. Now, some people, you know, if in that scenario, if there's an issue, then they have the right amount of money, and we give them the blessing that, hey, look, it's, you can leave, it's time for you to, you know, call it quits, then it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, you could just walk away. If management has a change, or maybe there's some employees that you don't want to work with anymore, or maybe you're just not happy with what you're doing and you have enough money set aside, you have a plan to get distributions, then go for it. Do it. Make it happen. You know, so everybody's in a different scenario.
You know, it's one of those situations where I have to imagine that it is much easier to go into a job, whether let's say it's easier to go to a job and enjoy it if you've already got a plan in place and you know that, like John just said there, you could leave at any time, you know, and maybe you just continue to do it because you enjoy it. You enjoy the social interaction, or you do want to, you know, mentor the next generation, or maybe there's a situation where, you know, I've just got to put in another 2 or 3 years and then I'm going to be set. Having that confidence can really help when it comes to that concern among retirees, that number one concern of outliving your money. But you don't know until you actually have a plan in place. You sit down and you speak with someone like Acadiana's retirement strategist, run the numbers and figure out where you stand right now and how that pertains to your retirement goals. 366-8366 is the phone number. That's how you get started. MatthewJames.com is the website. A new OnePoll survey says that Americans are actually retiring earlier than they had expected. It found, on average, that they initially thought they would retire at 63, but instead left the workforce at 61 and a half. When a client comes in, John, and asks if they can retire early, how does that conversation usually go?
Well, look, I mean, they're pretty ecstatic, the fact that they can retire early. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these things happen a lot. Sometimes you might be behind the eight ball a little bit, where you need to work a little bit more, get some more capital appreciation in your account. Now, whenever you're dealing with a down market, you know, it's more contributions that are going to get your account values up. Now, depending on what you're contributing to, you might be limited to what you can put in there each and every year. So ideally, we just have to look at that and measure. But, you know, we do find there are a lot of people that come in that, you know, we give them the blessing. Hey, look, you can do it. Everything's in the right spot. And, you know, there's no major worries that you have, you know, as long as you have everything buttoned up for any kind of estate planning, any tax planning that you have, if you plan on, you know, if you have to pay off a house. So we want to measure all these things, making sure everything is done correctly and set up for, you know, the long haul, this future that you're going to have being retired. And we want to make sure you can be set up to not have to unretire.
Exactly. It's very much a measure twice, cut once situation, or run the numbers and rerun the numbers and then only have to retire once. Because regardless of what your retirement goals and dreams are, they're going to vary from person to person. I think the one constant is I don't want to have to unretire. It's not to say you can't go back to the workforce if you want to, but if you're forced back into retirement, I don't think that's really anything that, I don't know, John, in all years of experience, has anyone ever come into the office and said that's what they want to do?
No, we haven't had that one, and hopefully we never, you know, never will, where they're going to have to unretire. Now, look, there's people that do retire, and then like a year later, they go back to work just kind of because they're bored. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sitting at home, and they don't want to watch, you know, Guiding Light reruns or, you know, mop the floor 17 times a day. So they're doing something just to get them out. Like my mom, you know, she was retired. Then my dad retired. And then my mom actually went back to work, not because she needed the money. She needed to get away from him. And look, I totally understand what she means. And uh-huh. So there's a lot of people that are in that scenario. They just need breathing room. And so that might be a way of doing it. Now, some people take that opportunity instead of maybe going back to work. What they'll do, and some people just want the extra spending money, so that's less money they have to withdraw from their accounts. And typically, most people will have money in tax-deferred accounts. So whether if they go work for the money or they take it out of their investments, they're still paying the same tax rates. There's no difference in that standpoint. I mean, obviously, you don't have to deal with the reduction because of Social Security and Medicare tax, you know, from your IRA as you withdraw from it, just like you would be getting a paycheck. But some people are just looking for something to do. Even though they're retired. I mean, now look, if you're full of hobbies and have different opportunities and traveler options, you know, obviously then that's a lot different. So, you know, I would say design your life that would make you happy, you know, from a financial standpoint and, you know, where you don't have to go back to work because you have to. Ideally, that would be the thing to do.
Being able to unretire by choice and not out of necessity all comes back to having that plan to fall back on. Like we talked about with David Copperfield earlier, you know, he has no intentions of retiring, but he'll probably be okay. And there are people out there who have no intentions of retiring, but they know they would still be okay. On the other side of it, you know, finding out that you can retire earlier than you thought you could is a great place to be, but you don't know until you run the numbers. So this is the phone number for Acadiana's retirement strategist, 366-8366. And the website, MatthewJames.com. There is apparently a new excuse for always being late. It is called time blindness, when you lose track of time because you're deeply focused on something else. This TikToker, who goes by the name of Chaotic Philosopher, believes there should be more accommodations when it comes to time blindness.
Yeah, I think that a culture where workers are just cut off because they struggle with being on time, when there's other solutions that we can look to, I think that just anybody who thinks it's okay to just treat people like that, yeah, that culture needs to be dismantled. And then I ask that person, how can you feel good about yourself upholding this kind of system? And then to think, I'm entitled. No, if people think it's okay to treat others like this, that's entitlement.
Now, they say that time blindness can also lead to procrastination, and so let's talk about that part of it. If someone doesn't have a financial advisor, they've been kicking that can down the road, isn't that a case of not watching the time as your retirement gets closer and closer?
Yeah. I mean, ideally, that becomes a bigger issue. So, look, the sooner you can meet with someone, the sooner that you can get a plan. You know, any information that you can get, whether it's online or, you know, in person with someone, is great. It at least gets started, ideally, because the thing is, the longer you wait, the more you have to put away to get to the same result.
Mm-hmm.
So take advantage of compounding. Take advantage of time. Let that money compound, because that's going to benefit you. Because the longer you wait, you know, the more behind the eight ball you're going to be. You know, I have a neighbor of around my parents' house and their kids I grew up with. And, you know, they called me for an appointment, what they call the office for an appointment. And they came by and like, hey, we want to talk about our retirement. And so I just thought like they had like everything together. And, you know, I don't go around talking to my neighbors or my parents' friends.
Sure.
And, you know, just I don't want to have that conversation at all. Like, if you want to come talk to me about it, come to my office, we can discuss it. It's kind of like, you know, if like a doctor goes to a birthday party and then you know, they might be an orthopedic surgeon, and then, you know, all these different parents are having the doctor check their the moles on their kid's back and neck. Like, that's not what they went there for.
No,
you know
no.
what I mean? So it's like these people want to have a peace of mind when they get out of work, when they, you know, take off the coat or the jacket or the tie. So ideally is, you know, have that conversation. So whenever that neighbor came by and they were like, yeah, I want to discuss my retirement. I'm like, okay, what have you done so far? Well, actually nothing. I want to go ahead and I have $5,000 I want to get started. I'm like, you're 64 years old.
$5,000?
And thinking like, what? And it was the wife that came by. The husband, she said, was, you know, always spent money, a lot of money, and never saved anything. It was more living for today than, you know, than for the future. I'm mm-hmm. like, man, they're going to be working for the rest of their life because Social Security isn't going to, you know, pay the bills for them. So it's bad whenever you're, you know, so far behind that, you know, the things that you need to do are almost not obtainable. Now, look, there's a guy that I met. I think it was Palm Desert in California. I think that's what it was, and for an investment conference. And the Uber driver that I had was from like Connecticut, and he had just moved there, and he actually has a business. He has a restaurant in Connecticut, like a diner, and his newest employee that he had hired has been there for 8 years. Now, granted, look, this conversation I had was in 2021. So, and you know, he's able to move away. Now, he's just driving, you know, Uber just to, you know, kill time. And
sure.
This guy's like maybe 53, maybe 55, worst case scenario. But he had, you know, he had his business going, he had money coming in. He was waiting for his wife to move over to meet him and his kids. He was just getting the groundwork. But he was telling me a story about his dad. You know, his dad at the time was 71 years old, living on Social Security alone. He was always a salesman. He had 4 divorces, he can sell anything, but he wouldn't give up his money. Well, he asked for his son for a $10,000 loan to start it. He had an idea to start up a business. So gave him the $10,000, no contract, no interest, no nothing. So the dad started up a phlebotomy delivery lab, like a blood service type thing. And he had it for about 5 years, and then he sold it for $6 million with no debt.
Wow.
You know? So like the thing is, that guy was like in retirement, didn't have any money, had to borrow the money, but he was willing to grind, willing to set up a business, and then sold it for a pretty good multiple. And, you know, he's living the best life ever. But actually, him and his son are opening up another one in a different city.
Oh, yeah,
and doing the same thing. And so, you know, you got to look at, you know, opportunities are everywhere. And so just because if you think you're way far behind, you know, how to get ahead. And there's lots of strategies. I mean, and so everybody's in a different situation. We just got to look at where you're at and what can we do to correct the course ahead of you.
you know, obviously the earlier that you get started, you start taking your retirement seriously, the easier a path you're going to have, because you know what steps you need to take on the way to your retirement, whether you've got, you know, 15 years, 20 years, however long before you get there. But on the other side of it, you know, there's no time like the present. Maybe you've kicked that can down the road, but the sooner you start, the sooner you can course correct. And like the case of this gentleman or this gentleman's father, which, you know, is fantastic. A $10,000 investment from his son turned into $6 million. Not too bad. It's all about being able to put in the sweat equity, but you don't know where you stand until you sit down and you start speaking with someone like the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, like Acadiana's retirement strategist. And so to do that, to see where you stand right now and how to get to those retirement dreams that you've had, the phone number is 366-8366 or online, MatthewJames.com. And as always, want to thank you so much for joining us here on The Retirement Roo with John Blanchard. Please have a great week ahead of you. Be safe out there. John, as always, grateful for the time. And as we wrap up, want to leave you with the final word.
Yeah, Chris, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I enjoy the show. A lot of great, you know, topics we discussed, strategies, you know, how to reduce your tax exposure, and even, you know, how to create the right portfolio and understanding the different buckets. Definitely tune in tomorrow. I'll be on KTC going over a lot of different information with Mallory and David, and then I'll be back on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday on KLFY with Lydia, giving our people in our area tips and retirement strategies and tax strategies that can benefit them.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and/or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925.
Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., Registered Investment Advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, License Number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.